Chafua meza. Tuko Nairobi tunachafu meza. Chafua meza. Tuko in the city chafu meza.
Welcome everybody to another episode of the Chafua Meza podcast. I am your host Lemi G, and today I have a special guest with me. From out of town, out of state, out of country, out of continent. Usually, I'm in my own studio, and before we start the show, we take shots. But today, I'm in a different place, different location. As you can see behind me, it's a beautiful view, beautiful day, and I'm enjoying the moment. With that being said, I'm gonna let my guest introduce himself, because this is gonna be a good one. I love it, I have the energy for it, and you're gonna love it too. Without further ado,
wow, Alex Chamwada, who
welcome.
Am I? I'm a humble celebrity.
Yes, sir.
Yes, celebrity, unajua, I'm a humble celebrity.
Welcome, yeah. Welcome.
Founder of Charms Media Limited. We create content, we promote brands, we do marketing, we tell stories, and one of most known series is Daring Abroad, featuring Kenyans who have dared to dare abroad like you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Welcome to Chafua Meza podcast.
Chafua Meza.
This is completely different because we're in a different...
Kwani tunachafua meza?
Lo, tunachafua inje.
Oh, chafua meza. Yeah. But it's Chafua Meza.
Yes, but it's Chafua Meza.
Okay.
Yes, the podcast is Chafua Meza. Uh-huh. Thank you so much for taking your time. Thank you for coming, stopping by. Matter of fact, thank me for stopping by too.
Yeah.
We're here.
Who would have thought?
Exactly.
Yeah, just called me.
Yes.
From North Carolina. And you, out of the ordinary, you drove all the way. 4 hours?
4.5 hours.
4.5 hours. And
yes.
This is your first outside.
Outside, different setting. First time with you.
You love it.
Yes.
You love
so you guys going to love it for sure.
Yeah.
But let's get to it. First things first.
Yeah, okay.
Let's start from your childhood.
Mm-hmm.
I was just a child.
How it was for me as a child.
Yes.
Yes, I was, I'm a village boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was born and raised in a village known as Elongo in Sabatia constituency, Vihiga County.
Vihiga County.
Yeah,
okay.
Primary school, same, Elongo. And I was brought up in a very humble family. My father was a pastor with a PAG, you know, local pastor. My mom was, a peasant. Oh, both of them were peasants while my father is doing church work. So I'm from a big family, a family of 12.
12?
Yes, yeah, same mother.
That's
same,
huge.
Yes, same mother, same father. 12. They brought into the world 12 people. Three have passed on, so we are 9.
Wow.
Our firstborn is a girl, Mschana, and then I'm the second born.
In the second born.
So from African setting, I'm literally the first born because everything is on me.
Of course,
but,
yeah.
But I'm glad, despite many challenges we had, we are really not doing badly because I was able now to support my siblings, and all of them have something they are doing. I've been a role model to them. My parents were role models to me, and I never thought that I would even go beyond borders and do international work, working from America, from Australia, and so on. So from that, I'm tracing my story from a village boy
to a boy
who went international and started, you know, doing content, doing stuff out of the ordinary. Have I left out anything? Yes. So that's how I was brought up. I was very... Yeah, Sunday service, you know, inaitwaje ile ya kanisa asubuhi
watoto. Sunday school service, yes.
Sunday school. I was...
Yes.
It was something like unavoidable, and I grew in it, and I was leading those Christmas carols active.
Ah.
I knew the Bible books. No, I can't. I don't know. I need to go back. I would name for you the Bible books from Genesis to Revelation. Name all of them, and
yes.
The verses. I would quote for you very many verses.
Yes.
So I was brought up in that kind of God-fearing environment. We were taught very key virtues that I cherish up to now.
Yeah.
Honesty, discipline, hard work, and respect for others.
Nice.
I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, sir. Oh, completely, yeah. Completely. I'm interested. So you came up as a Christian, right?
Yes, yeah.
Brought up in a Christian house. Mm. Oh, I like that because we have the same similarities.
Yeah, you then know I went to St. Peter's Mumias High School up to 1990. Then Moi University I graduated in 1996 with a bachelor degree in information sciences. At that time, sijakuwa journalist, because the course was not really about journalism. But I'll tell you, maybe you'll ask me about my journey. So how did I begin journalism?
That was my next question.
So I'm reading your mind.
Yes, sir, that was my next question.
Yeah. So by that time, I'm still a bundus. You know, bundus. Yes. Bundus, because high school, primary, bundus. High school, bundus. University, bundus, you know. Because Moi University it's really rural. Yeah. At that time, I've never been to Nairobi, but I'll tell you, I came to Nairobi. So, yes. So, I seem to have asked myself the next question.
Yes,
it to you again.
Because that was the question. I was trying to find out, like, what made you actually start doing journalism as a career, as opposed to any other thing? Because, you know, in Africa, or at least raised in Africa, most of the time we are being encouraged to do careers that have to do with doctors, pilots, you know what I mean, stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
But you actually took a different route as far as journalism. So what made you actually be interested with journalism?
Yeah. Okay. While I was growing up, I really used to listen to KBC. Again, I would name for you the KBC programs from the time the station opens. Nowadays it's 24 hours, but the radio station would open at 6 a.m. Amka kumepambazuka ni tufanye kazi, you know that was quite symbolic, and it gave you the energy kuamuka, twendeni tufanye kazi. Kama unaenda shule, twendeni unajisikia sasa KBC ndio the real thing ya kukuamusha. So I grew up listening to radio, and I really loved to just be behind a microphone and be a broadcaster. So fast forward, when I went to campus, I did a course that was not so related, but my passion was still there, and I was meant to understand from the dean of students that anybody can become a journalist. What matters is a talent, especially broadcasting. So you can come from any background. You could have studied geography, or medicine, or law, or you're a teacher, but you end up in journalism.
Yes.
So the course, again, then I found is relevant in one way or another, because information sciences, we are studying librarianship, books and book trade, publishing, and archiving, you know, there was an element of IT. So it prepared me in terms of sourcing for information, but here is the miracle.
Wow.
Do I continue?
Yes.
This is the miracle, my friend Lemmy. So while I'm in second year in Moi University, so we have a trip to Mombasa, Environment Club, and the bus is a green Volvo bus. I remember very well. So
Volvo
we
bus.
Take a trip to Mombasa, Environment Club, to go to the beach and the touristic attractions there. So in Nairobi, the team leader says we take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, you can have lunch. We're giving you 2 hours.
Yeah.
My 2 hours, I turned them into going into something that I love. So I decided I want to call this guy at KBC that I've been listening to all along. His name is James Mwaura. He had a program called Mwangaza, which was a current affairs program, just an informative program, not news per se, but current affairs, beekeeping, protecting environment, things from United Nations. So I called him. I went to a telephone booth, so I'm not taking lunch. So like enough, I found him. So he said, well, where are you? I told him, I'm here at, I was near the police station, Harithuk Road, you know, not far, because I'd walked closer to KBC.
Yeah.
So he said, you are so ambitious, uko wapi? Kamambia niko hapa karibu na police station. Unajua KBC ko wapi? Akaniambia ndio. So I walked to KBC. Imagine I found James Mwaura at the gate waiting for me. A short man, I've never met him.
Are you
it's
kidding
my
me?
First, and remember, it's my first time in Nairobi.
Yeah.
I've never been to Nairobi. So he took me to KBC, akanitembeza, and I'm like, wow, miracles happen. So akanipeleka studio, nikaona studio inakaa namna gani, watangazaji wa zamu wanakaa wapi, mwingine akakuja, akasoma habari, akaenda, and then akanipeleka kwa production studio, akatest voice yangu, akasema iko sawa, Kiswahili changu, akasema ni sawa kabisa, lakini lafudhi ya Kimaragoli ndio kidogo iko ndani, hiyo ndio tajaribu kutoa. So I read a script. He gave me a script to read. Little did I know he would use that script in his evening show. The program used to air on Tuesdays, I remember, at 8:30. So while we are back going to Mombasa, and you know we have no cell phones, nothing.
Yeah.
Kumbe mimi niko hewani, ashaweka sauti yangu. Wazazi wako nyumbani, watu wananisikia, and everybody used to listen to KBC. That's how that was my entry into broadcasting. So he taught me how to just be scripting, record myself nikiwa Moi University. I'm in second year, 1994. 1994, ulikuwa wapi?
I was a baby, man.
Baby,
I was a little kid.
Okay, so 1994. So I used to record myself kwa cassette recorder, naweka kwa Akamba bus, parcels. Inaenda Nairobi, anachukua, anaenda kutumia kwa program. So I was now regular in his program. Kila wiki, saa mbili na nusu, sauti yangu inasikika. Na mimi bado ni mwanafunzi Moi University. That was the entry.
Wow.
Yeah. Jesus. Into broadcasting.
Man.
Yeah.
Talk about blessings.
Yeah.
That's miracle after miracle just happening, man.
Yeah.
God was walking with you.
God was
the benefits of being a Christian, you see? Believing in God.
Amen.
And speaking of journalism, the way you started, can you remember your big break, the first time you did it and you get your big break?
It has to be a continuous story then. The big break is now, it's a series. So I completed Moi University in 1996, graduated. Worked in the NGO world, the book trade industry, books and publishing industry with an NGO. And then I was lucky to get a scholarship to do now a postgraduate diploma in mass communication at the University of Nairobi, 1 year course from 1997 to 1998. So 1998, the day of the bomb blast you've heard about,
yes.
98.
Yes.
I think it's in August.
Yes, that's, I think August 7th.
That's the day I'm beginning my attachment now in the newsroom at KBC. So I could just see journalists, reporters running around, editors. So, you know, right now you are not given any assignment because you are just new. Remember, I was just doing a radio program, which is different from news. News is so fast-paced and you have to be a reporter.
Yes.
There I was just a presenter. So now I'm a reporter. So it was so fast, we learned just observing, then eventually getting assignments. So then that was another breakthrough, that a postgraduate diploma, and it's out of a scholarship. I just searched myself, gave me now the real course. Now, competently saying, I'm trained as a journalist. Yes. So combining information sciences and a postgraduate diploma in mass communication. So I was there for 1 year, and then when Radio Citizen began, another first, my friend Lemmy, another first. I'm the first reporter of Royal Media Services, the radio. On April Fool's Day, 1999, that's the first day I entered, and the station was in town at Ambank House along University Way. There were other presenters already on board, Anderson Waweru, there was former governor Taita, Granton Samboja was a presenter, the late Mohamed Juma Njuguna, a presenter. So there are many presenters, but now coming to a journalist experienced, I was the first reporter of Royal Media Services. Fast forward, this is 2000, Voice of America and Radio Citizen were affiliates. And Voice of America station is just right there.
Down the street.
Yeah, yes. It's a 5 minutes walk from here, my friend Lemmy. So I got an opportunity to come in America for internship, thanks to working with the Royal Media Services. So it was a secondment, and it was paid for by Voice of America, the trip, the air tickets, the accommodation, some stipend. That's, you know, it was quite a boost. So that's now the question you're asking. What was your question?
What was your biggest major break?
That is...
For you to make it.
That
to
is
make
it. So it. That was a game changer, my first international trip. And I was at Voice of America for 3 months. Coincidentally, this was during the presidential election of that year. So I experienced it. I went to the field. And this was Al Gore versus George
Bush
Jr. Bush.
Yes.
I witnessed it. I reported about that election. So that is it. Then the rest, I mean, it's a long story. But now we are in America.
We're in America.
Yeah. Now, naona hapa mahali tunaka.
Yes.
2000, nilikuwa nimeketi hapa. Hapa jabadilika. The only thing missing here, kulikuwa na ducks, za white. Sijui zimeenda wapi, sijaziona.
Now we got some brown ones.
Yeah. Yeah?
Yes, now it's all brown.
Right in front of the Capitol Hill, behind us. So it's so nostalgic, you're asking me this question. And USA, Washington, D.C., is a real, real game changer in my life as a journalist. It gave me the exposure, and it catapulted me to the way people who live in America think. How they work hard, discipline, no shortcuts, boom, 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 result-oriented.
Right on.
You know me, Wongea. And in high school, by the way, I used to be so quiet. Primary high school, I was very good in choir, singing. But when it comes to talking, whatever, someone will say, I wouldn't even kill a fly.
I bet then you like to argue. You like to argue a lot, don't you?
I get what?
You like to argue a lot.
Not really arguing. I like to debate. I like to...
Did you debate in high school?
Yes, yes. Very good in debate. So I like... Arguing is a bit on the extreme, but I like conversations and debating issues.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. All right. So, still on that journalism, can you remember the toughest story you had to cover in your career?
One of the toughest stories. Yes. Tough in the real sense of...
Either way, it could be emotional, it could be because it's someone you like a lot, you'll be looking up to, you run into that person.
During the Kenya Airways plane crash in Abidjan in February 2000. This is before I come to America. So in February, there was that fatal accident, and almost, I think, very few people survived. So I was sent by Royal Media Services to cover. Man, it was, you are seeing bodies. I'm seeing bodies for the first time, you know, being, you know, pulled out of water, you know, the emotions, people crying. Then, because it's a continuous, it's the first ever, I would say, tragedy story to cover. Then you are spending so many hours on the story, waking up, because you have to keep the story going. People want updates, energy sapping, emotionally draining. That was depressed. In fact, we had a counselor, someone to just support us, even many journalists, and not just journalists, even family, so many, even Kenya Airways staff, because it was really bad. So that was really tough, I must say. There was another crash again, unfortunately, in the year 2006 in Douala this time round. Again, similar, quite emotional. Come to politics. My tough reporting in politics, I would say almost every political story is tough because there are so many sides to a political story. There are those now, after you've done your political story, especially if you are analyzing, if you are just saying, he said, a little tough, but not as tough as now coming to analyze.
Break it down.
Has done this. Yeah. What does it mean to the nation?
Then
because it means really picking facts, analyzing facts, putting in a little opinion, you are in trouble because it's a side that is likely to accuse you.
Yes.
You are biased.
Yes.
Another one will be praising you.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
one that is praising you today, tomorrow now,
they're
things have changed.
You.
They are now turning you. So it is tough to balance in politics. When I reported about The Hague, Kenyans are accused, including, of course, former President Uhuru Kenyatta, current President William Ruto, former head of public service Mudaura, former head of police Ali, there were six, and former ODM chairman Henry Koskei. Man, it was nice before the names come out, because everyone is saying, don't be vague. Say Hague. So Hague is the way to go. Now names are there. People are going through the processes. So depending on how people look at it, then there are those who are starting to accuse you, you are pro-Hague. The others, you are anti-Hague.
Yeah.
You know, so very many. So you are caught up in a lot of, because of interest, because of people support different sides. So then you see people are supporting Hague. Now the names have come out. They are now against Hague. So the more you continue even telling the genuine process of what next, while they think you are now supporting.
Yes.
So you get now an audience that doesn't like you at all.
Yes.
And sincerely, let me tell you, I would go to some public places and people don't want, they are pointing fingers at me.
Yeah.
And the Huyu Mutua Hague, you see, can it be bad? Or Huyu Mutua ODM, you know, Huyu Mutua PNU. Politics can do that to you. And it's one of the reasons why I quit the newsroom.
Actually, it's just one of the reasons also I stay away from politics. I don't like doing politics on my podcast because that exact same reason you just mentioned, I stay away from that. I don't want problems.
Mm.
But you mentioned something about stories, and this is my question for you. How do you pick your stories? Because you have
currently,
so many stories. Yes, how do you pick your stories?
You know, and that's what fulfills me. So when you're in the newsroom, you are sort of confined to the news story. What is the news story in a newsroom? Is that sensational story? Is that political story? It's an accident. It is calamities. So then you are that's where you are. It's routine, daily. And again, for me, as I told you, it's emotionally draining. When I came out of the newsroom, I decided to tell my own story, to package in a manner I like. And then I realized there is a story almost everywhere you are stepping. Even here, there is a story here.
Yeah.
You are a story, is it?
Of course. Facts.
I am a story.
Yeah.
Our cameraman, Edison Mutumba, is a story. The people walking around us here are a story. I mean, the blue skies. So then I realized these stories are across the world. So my mantra is mine should be inspirational, informative, and about development, you know, humanity. Those are the tenets of the stories I tell. So I do inspiring stories. I seek to inspire people. I seek to tell the stories that you cannot easily find in the newsroom. And one area, of course, has been now breaking away from the boundaries of Kenya and going beyond Kenya. And one of my most successful series is Daring Abroad. And not inspiration doesn't mean then it's all positive, positive, positive. Inspiration is for like you telling me how you came, you slept on the streets, there was no food. That's inspiration, how you overcame it. So I'm not saying it's inspiration is rosy things, rosy pictures. No, it is you grew out of a certain challenge to succeed. Maybe again you went back to a challenge. There's a story we did of some Kenyan in London where he was literally living in a taxi. He started a consultancy firm, an immigration consultancy firm. Family broke, went back to the streets, you know, again, you know, up and down, you know, became homeless. And I think he's now picking up again. He's beginning his life all over again. That is inspiration.
For sure.
Yes.
You know, because of course I've watched your YouTube channel, right?
Yeah.
You travel all over. I think you've gone almost in every continent in the world, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So how do you get these stories from different continents? Like, do you have people research the whole stories worldwide and then they bring it to you and then you have to sit down and pick a story? Or how do you go about it? Because, of course, you're traveling everywhere. It's not like you just cover Kenyan stories alone or Nairobi stories alone. You're all over the world.
Now, let me begin by asking our viewers, those who are watching us, to subscribe to the very channel you've talked about, our channel, that is Charms Media TV. So all these stories, you'll find them on Charms Media TV. Please subscribe.
Subscribe, yeah, subscribe, subscribe.
And subscribe to this podcast as well. Let's support Lemmy, he's doing a good job.
Chafua Meza podcast. Chafua get it right, get it tight.
Yes.
Make sure you subscribe.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and leave a comment and share as well.
Yeah, I'm always interviewing people. And now it's the other way around.
Game has changed. the game changer.
I feel nice. I think it's easier interviewing than being interviewed. Yeah, I hope I'm trying. Yeah, yeah.
And I get it. Yeah.
Unfortunately, his is no cut. It's live, it's gone. So forgive me if I've said anything that doesn't auger very well. I mean, it's live. So, yeah. I mean, he told me to be natural, to be me. So,
yes,
our channel is Charms Media YouTube, Charms Media TV. Charms Media TV. But if you just type in Charms Media, it will pop out because it's doing very well online. So it has good, what you say, it has good...
feedback or what?
No, Ile ya pop things quickly because it's it has... I'll tell you. I thought you are a digital person.
I don't know what you mean right now. You got me off,
Google,
guard.
Google something. Yeah?
We'll get back to it. Just keep going.
Google, our cameraman can tell us. There's search engine optimization.
Oh, the search engine.
Search
engine. Okay.
So, and also I'm available on Facebook, Twitter. My account is just Alex Chamada. The fake ones you can tell, but mine you'll just know.
Okay. Are you on Spotify? Are you Apple?
No, where you'll get me easily is LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
That's it.
Yeah, but I'll talk about that later. We are developing a Daring Abroad community, which will be on Apple Store. So, yes, how do we get these stories? Umesikia msemo kizuri cha jiuza?
Kibaya cha jitembeza.
Yes. I mean, it's like mama nyanya, anauza nyanya kwa kiosk mahali pale wapi, Kawangware. Na kuna wengi wage wanauza nyanya wengi but utasikia tu pengine mama fulani anasifiwa sana kwa nyanya zake. Nyanya ni nyanya, zote ziko na kala moja, but enda nunua nyanya kwa mama spoon yako na nyanya poa. There is a reason, word of mouth, what. So ukifanya kitu ni kizuri kitajitembeza, people will refer, people will look for you. That's how I've been able to do content abroad. So it's not magic. I get that question quite a lot. As we speak, I mean, there's someone in some unknown island somewhere who has probably found me on Facebook. You know, the world is open.
Yeah.
It's unlike in the past. So Facebook is there. X is there. LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Kwani ni magic, mtu kuni reach na kusema, mi ni waiter, kwa hoteli fulani Jazzy Island, ukikuja Jazzy Island unaweza pia kuniweka kwa show yako. That's a link. Na mimi hatujawahi kukutana. In Nairobi, just walking, how many people do I meet? Oh, I have a brother in Los Angeles. Ukiwa huko, ye ni mwalimu, you know. So it is limitless. As in, to tell you the truth, daring abroad, it will be there forever. So the sustainability in this is I've built a team. Edison is their videographer. The other videographers, they travel a lot. Many of them have visas. I have a co-presenter called Michael Zimanji. As we speak, he's preparing to travel to Australia. So that if you've been keen, he presents as well and wouldn't know whether it's me or him because the brand now is very strong.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's very sustainable that Daring Abroad can be there milele. You can't finish content across the world, you know. And it takes many formats. It could be a Kenyan who was abroad, a Karudi Nyumbani, that still fits in the show. Daring Abroad, that person returned. It could be a nurse preparing to relocate to London. You see, that's a story. I mean, a nurse, they could reach out to you. You could attend a conference where nurses are being trained before they relocate. How many stories are those already? So if you went to a conference where you have 20 nurses relocating to the UK, you have all those contacts. One by one, those are 20 stories, networks, attend seminars, workshops. Sometimes I may go to a country, not necessarily to go look for Kenyans to feature them, but because there's a conference. For example, there could be a conference on energy in Australia. So the organizers invite me to cover. And that still fits in Daring Abroad because the organizers are likely also Kenyans involved in it. So a package on that conference alone is a story.
Yeah.
And while I'm there, they've sponsored me. I'm already there. And then people reach out to me. And when I'm announced, hey guys, I'm in Washington, D.C., people just call me.
Show up. Yeah.
That's the trick. Right. And so, referrals mostly.
Mostly. Yeah. Now, this is my question to back that one up, actually. Yeah. Do you actually, how do you make sure those stories are credible, or you just...
We do our research. I mean, you've met me. I've watched your podcasts, whatever. So I've researched on you. So I've researched on you. So I'm confident and I can sit with you. So the same. There are people even, and they know each other. So sometimes before I come to a location, I've maybe interacted with the community in that area. For example, Canada in Ontario, there's a huge Kenyan community there. I know the president of the community, the association, the treasurer, all of them. Sometimes they even recommend. So I ask around, so-and-so anauza manyumba, ni real, what, yes. So I'm able to do my due diligence. And while filming, I'll know. Before, now the good thing then, unlike you, so mine is pre-edited. So I have time to go through, edit, ask around. So I'll publish when I'm really satisfied. It's now good to go.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is good because you have to cover yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. When it comes to journalism, your opinion?
And by the way, on your question, just for people to get me right, it's not that then we are so super, nothing goes wrong. There are times we do a story and we found the person we featured maybe was good or something happened, like there's a certain shaper in the US who we featured and everyone came telling us, you are featuring a person who is not so credible. His mizigo zetu zinapotea, he's not having good customer care. He's not a good guy. Another one he featured in the UK. So what we ordinarily do is to pull down because the more the content is on air and it's controversial, it's not good. So we, in honest, we normally talk to the person we featured, tell the person why, then we pull it down from our YouTube. So we are not angels. It happens that you can land onto people. Some people may be okay now. After 2 years, something went wrong and they're giving you a bad name.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah.
That's why you have haters also.
Yeah.
People don't like you at all for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. And some could just be hating. So we do our research also.
That's true.
And some could be a competitor now wants to kuharibia huyo mwingine. So on a plan to watu kukuja
to destroy whatever you got going on. Mm. Now, in your own opinion, how do you feel journalism is shaping our society right now?
It has to be tackled from different angles. I would say there is the journalism we know, the reporter you know in the newsroom, your typical TV, your typical radio, your typical newspaper. But journalism has taken a new twist where the other journalists, who some may have been there but came out, so they are doing things differently and using new media, digital media, where it's instant. It is on TikTok. It is on YouTube. It is so that the typical journalism is challenged now, and now almost anybody can be a journalist. So people are able to break stories. They've never been to a journalism school. So then the difference is those that are being broken by the non-professionals, they have the gadgets and so on, maybe a little uncouth and not professional, but still people have gotten it. So you may find even where ordinarily you wouldn't show dead bodies on your TV, but someone with a phone splashes all over and people still say, I may break the news. So again, there are certain tenets, obscenity, decency, which now with the new media, it's not so easy to control. So still the mainstream media has an edge where we still need that professionalism, while we have other people. So they're competing that new journalism. Mainstream are really, sometimes they feel they're lagging behind. The danger is they tend sometimes to pick things from new media, from bloggers, from people on the streets. Before you realize it was not correct, you start apologizing because they are feeling the pressure. This has happened, we were not there. Or pick, put. You know, you may even hear a minister so-and-so sacked. So an editor without knowing goes on air or picks or at the digital media of the mainstream before you realize it was fake. So they are having those dealing with fake news. But yes, journalism is shaping the world and faster than we did in our days when we didn't have mobile phones, no internet and so on. That you're able to influence a certain cause very fast and very easily. So, for example, if there is a calamity somewhere, people are able to know quickly, faster. If you are moving that direction, you are likely to avoid, because now it's all over. So both mainstream and new media. So you are influencing how we are moving, how we are behaving, our likes, our culture. So it's really influencing a big deal, you know, how we are dressing, how we are singing, how we are interacting. Politics is dividing people. It's because of what they are seeing in media. You know, it's something maybe on mainstream media or social media. Then you find a certain community has reacted, maybe defensive all of a sudden. We are friends. You are from a certain community. I'm a certain community. We are watching something together. The way we perceive it, we start arguing over that thing. So you see, it's influencing. It's making us enemies when we were friends. Journalism can also inspire. It's inspiring. Inspiring stories like what I do have influenced quite a bit. Let me talk a bit about myself then. For example, we've shown people opportunities back home how to invest. That is influence. We've shown opportunities in America. There are students who have come to America by understanding how do I go about it, how do I get a scholarship. There's a series we did called Kenya Airlift, which now changed the name to International Scholars Program by my friend called Bob Mwiti. He's here in the US in Florida. And he came up with this initiative to support Kenyan students who want to do masters, especially in IT and science subjects, management and so on. When I met him, he had only one student under that scheme. Later on, how many years, about 5 years on, he has over 1,000 students because I profiled what he does, and through my series, it gave people information on how to come to America. So information is power.
Yes, information is power. Mm. You know, it's interesting when you mentioned that when it comes to professional journalism versus that professional journalism. Mm. That's the perfect example of you and me, because you have gone to school and you have the degree for the professional journalism. Uh-huh. I don't have a degree in journalism. Mm. But you know what's interesting? Time has changed so much. Mm. If you notice right now in the world we live in, we even have politicians running as leaders who don't even have degrees, right? And that's one of the qualifications. Mm. You gotta have a degree, right?
Yeah.
To run this type of position they taking, right? So again, the good thing about people like us, we bring the real and raw that's going on out here. Sometimes when it comes to professional, they tend to delete or at least to hold back because of professional reasons, you know, maybe the network you're working for or maybe your boss, whatever the case might be. But we come as we come. What you see is what you get.
Yes.
We don't hold nothing back. Yeah. We don't hide nothing back. Mm. You see where we are right now. Mm. We're sweating under the sun. Mm. We're not hiding nothing. Mm. This is the real thing, you know?
Yes.
But all in all, we still look up to guys like you. You know what I mean? Because we learn from you guys. You know what I mean? You are our mentors. We learn so much from you guys. Because just like you say, knowledge is power. So you know better, mm-hmm. you do better. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. that's where I come in.
Yes.
So that's why I've been watching and I'm learning from you.
Okay.
And it's an honor for me to sit right here with you mm. and to have this conversation. Just like you mentioned earlier, mm. you always interview people.
Uh-huh.
But today, the tables have changed.
uh-huh.
You see? Yes. And just by me and you sitting right here, mm. trust me, there's somebody else who's going to watch this episode. Mm. They will be motivated, yeah. inspired.
Yes, remember where we began, Village Boy.
Yes. You
know, and now conquering the world.
Yeah, conquering the
and
world.
And it's not about money to achieve some of these things. That there are people with money. Money is good, it's okay. But part of what you asked me, how do I get this story, is networks. Networks are much richer than cash money and
yes.
money in the bank. Because you may have money in the bank, but you can't achieve many things. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's
your net worth is
your yeah? network.
Your network is your network.
It's your net. Yes.
Yeah. Your network is your network.
So, this is another question I have for you. Have you ever experienced any danger mm-hmm. in covering any of your stories in the past?
Yeah. Politics. Yes. The danger is you have threats. You know, some are in power. They are calling directly. Hey, ukona bibi na watoto. Hey, chunga maisha.
Yeah.
Si ukona bibi na watoto. You know that statement is
yes,
very powerful.
Yes, that's a threat. Yeah,
yeah that's a threat.
Yeah.
When I was doing politics. Danger is in, you are in certain situations that could be a health hazard. You are in demonstrations, tear gas. That's a danger. I mean,
yes.
And also anything can happen where there is fighting. It's a dangerous place. It's a threat to your life. Of course, traveling and moving, our work is, especially when you are now doing the new story. At least what I'm doing, I'm able to manage and control and say, I need to stop now. I can continue tomorrow. But in newsroom, you are likely not to have that advantage. You need to dash to Eldoret now. You need to dash. It's midnight. So you are exposed to quite a bit of risks here and there. And then, of course, you are like exposed as a celebrity. Everyone knows where you are, you know, your movements, you know, people think you have money. It's a threat also.
Yes,
yeah.
that's very true. Mm. Especially the money part.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Even family members, they bother you a lot, calling you or disturbing you.
Yeah.
That's very crazy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, because you mentioned, of course, you move international.
Mm.
What international assignment, I can say, what international assignment has ever changed your perspective?
I think the Hague, the Hague, and covering Hague, that I've already mentioned. Even just understanding how international judicial systems work and how Hague works. And, you know, it's international relations. The other one was covering the U.S. elections. I've mentioned the year 2000, but
yes.
the most impactful and nostalgic is the elections of 2008 that brought in former President Barack Obama. Remember, the story begins from home. When he was a senator and he visited his village
yes.
to just trace his roots.
Yes.
And I remember covering that. And at that time, very few people know where he's headed. Why is he visiting Kenya?
Yeah.
He's still a senator. At that time, many Kenyan politicians, including ministers, are abusing him because he was critical of the regime of then, especially tough on human rights and corruption and so on. So they would be like, who is Obama? Who is Obama? Literally, yeah. they would be, you know,
yes.
greeting him as a president.
As a president.
So, I traced the story and remember I'd been at Voice of America, had friends, had networks, the power of networks. So someone told me, mark that story. That is going to be your next big project. This guy is going to be the president of America.
Ooh,
yeah.
Nice.
Someone from Voice of America. And I want to give tribute. Let me mention the name because someone asked. So if he helped you, why are you not saying his name? Shaka Sali. It was a broadcaster at Voice of America, but he passed on last year. May his soul rest in
peace. May rest in peace, yes.
So, Shaka Sali. So, I traced the story, followed. Come election, again, because of my networks at Voice of America. And I'm very nostalgic about it. Yoile pale to pale, 5 minutes
down the street.
I covered that story like nonsense. Let me say nonsense. You know, there were other media houses. So, I was covering for Royal Media Services.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I did it. Because of the advantage of Mitambo, we would go live from Voice of America studios, live. Hakuna station ingine, sitaki kunema hizo stations ingine, but Citizen did it. So I covered the campaigns, you know. I would easily, because of my networks with the Voice of America, go to the political rallies of McCain, who was competing Obama, Obama himself right in front, you know, with the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then came election, covered, went home. My station was so happy. They sent me back to cover inauguration on 20th January 2009. I was here. Man, this was a sea of humanity. Hapa, ungerusha pin or a grain, it would not find its way on the ground. I'm telling
too many
you.
People,
of course, he was being sworn in from there.
Yeah.
Look, right there. You need to see.
Yes, yes.
Barack Obama, you asked me the big story that changed me or influenced.
That's
so Barack
right
Obama with the Bible swearing in, and you have a huge audience all the
all way
up
to the back. Yes.
To the that's the mall, I think. Yes, the tall thing. What is it called? The monument.
Edison, yeah.
What's that called? The monument, yes, up to the monument. Man, so that was a big story that changed my perspective. One is on how we approach, how we cover politics. So that's when I got the oomph of analyzing politics, because I learned from the big names, the CNN, Voice of America was among them. I was among the equals, traveling with them, seeing how they are doing live coverage, you know, body language, research, analysis. You asked what changed my perspective? That one.
That's the
then
one.
I got into myself this inner feeling of it can be bigger. If it's covering a story, look, I've covered an international story from the US for the Kenyan audience. Wow, that sets you apart from your competition. That gives you the impetus.
Yes.
That gives you the oomph. Yes.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. And this is the question I'm about to ask you next. Mm. This is me learning from you right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
How do you handle criticism?
Criticism.
And pressure as a journalist?
Wow. So pressure, that's a difficult one. How did I even... Because you can't be me, I can't be you. One is, it's you. I mean, yeah, so.
But you know, I mean, you're right. Of course, I can't be you, but you can't be me. But the bottom line is.
I don't have to answer that.
Me watching you, how you handle this.
One, it's a time you can break down. So pressure means many things. Like the plane crash story I told you in Abidjan. That's pressure. The speed, then the emotions, people. Seeing dead bodies, whatever. So that I just broke down and had to get counseling. And when I came back to Kenya, I had to take a break to just, you know, get back onto myself. So yes, handling is you can go low and you need to seek support.
Yeah.
Then again, what we were advised is then maybe the station can do you a favor by having you take a break from that. If say you've been covering crime, and that pressure is getting onto a good editor, a good employer should already be able to see and maybe change you to covering sports, which could be uplifting. You know,
yes.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
You don't have confine yourself there. So now come to political pressure. Yes, one, you just get used to what you need to know, and then you convince yourself, if I'm being criticized. And inside your heart, you know, you are factual, that you said this is a Kenyan flag, and it is. So nothing should bother you, even if people are saying you've said this is a Tanzanian flag. But you know it's Kenyan flag,
it's Kenyan,
yeah.
Yes.
This is white, but politicians want to say it's black. So it's white. So your conscience now, that's how I handle pressure. So while they'll criticize me, but I know I've done the right thing. Now you will not manage. It could, there's some people just do things unprofessionally and it doesn't bother them. For me, I told you how I was brought up. Honesty, what I feel bad when I've wronged somewhere. So for me, how I handle is, if say it's true, I was being mischievous and being malicious in my reporting to spoil for a certain politician or to report the wrong thing, then it would affect me because I'll be feeling guilty. So I handle by convincing myself, whether they criticize me or not, it is white.
Yes.
I told them it's white. They can't force me to say it's black. So your conscience sets you free. So you handle by convincing yourself, let them say what they want to say. And by the way, there have been wrong accusations. I was accused of being part of Cambridge Analytica, which was not the case, because someone has seen me with a photo with a mzungu in State House or wherever. Because why am I in State House? There are many reasons people go to State House.
Yeah.
I could go there for my professional work. Who said producing content is not professional? It is.
It is.
Yeah, if State House have called me to go produce a certain content, unless it's lies, then my conscience will kill me.
Yes.
If I've gone to State House and the president is saying lies, one, I won't air. there. But if I know what I've done and it's just giving services of a cameraman, record, do this, edit, give us. So that's what I did at some point. But because it's at election time, there was the Cambridge Analytica thing. It was so bad. CNN was calling me, oh, you're part of, course it was bad that Cambridge Analytica did ABCD, invaded people's data, did propaganda. I didn't do nothing. Huh? How do you say it?
I didn't do nothing.
So my conscience was clear. I convinced. Then it dies. Yeah. Again, if you've done it and it's true, it will come to haunt you. Because someone will dig it out.
Yes, it's going to come back.
If say I have a certain child out of wedlock somewhere, and it will come out,
at some
my
point,
friend.
Yes.
But if you accuse me of a child somewhere and I don't have any child somewhere,
nonsense.
Why would it affect me? So you'll criticize, you'll expose me, you'll put stuff out about me. But if it's not true, let me tell you, it comes to pass. And those people who are criticizing you will still work with you.
Of course.
Yes, they will.
Trust me, they come.
People still go. They may criticize you, but they'll come for you because you are a professional.
Yes.
That's how I handle. How else do I handle pressure and so on? One is your lifestyle. So I'm not a lifeist. You won't find me all over whatever showing off. Again, you're avoiding trouble. So I'm not showbiz. If I'm in a business class and showing you that photo why I'm in a business class, it's work. I'm even trying to tell you how I'm promoting this route, Kenya Airways, on a new destination, and this is how business class looks like.
Yes.
But I'll not be showing you so that you feel I'm great.
Yes.
No, I avoid grinding pompous, being about myself. So again, that helps you to manage pressure because you know what you're churning out will not, even if people criticize, you are not out to just about yourself. The other thing is lifestyle. I tend to keep fit. I tend to walk a lot. I do little exercises every morning. That relieves you from pressure. The pressure of work, your body gets into that tune of, you know, pressure, working. You can work the whole day. So that is how I manage pressure. You know, what else? The people I interact with, the friends, I like talking, I like comparing notes, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, and I won't kill myself with the pressure. And then I understand, I run business, so business can be tricky, you know. I'm no longer employed. I have 30 people to pay salary.
That is big.
I have bills to pay.
Yes.
I have KRA, the tax to deal with. So many things to comply with. So things can be up and down.
There's a time,
business, COVID came, businesses are closing, we are affected. So again, that's pressure. How do I handle? I convince myself to live a day at a time. Because if you kill yourself today, I mean, if you put a full stop, it's the same, you will pick from where you put a full stop. So a day at a time, what I can manage today, fine. Then I have pressure here. Sometimes you run into trouble, even maybe your creditors. It happens because times change. The times you go talk with them, how do we push this, manage it this way? So you have to manage and not run away from trouble. And in life, even, for example, you even have a credit somewhere and this business things are going, go present yourself. Let them not look for you and you are hiding because you are just creating more trouble. That's the pressure that also comes in business. I won't tell you it's rosy. It's not rosy. Yeah.
I agree with you completely, 100%. Yeah. But you just mentioned something that stood out to me right now.
Mm.
You just say something that nobody, I mean, most people will not even try or actually even think of doing.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentioned if you're doing an interview with a president and this actually saying lies, you will not let that interview actually air.
Yeah, of course.
That is
big.
If
I know it's lies, imagine why am I letting it go?
Because
I'll tell you, not just president, because there are some people are very powerful. So there was a lot of propaganda around Hague until people call press conferences and say how Ocampo has done this in collaboration with Raila Odinga. And I was accused to be being pro-Raila. So they are putting, and I understand the process, understand the Hague process. I've done my research. I have lawyers there. I understand the process. You know, facts and the politics is different. So they will do their press conferences. And I'm telling the truth, and a certain editor or an editor would say, pick this angle. And I'm like, maybe they are ignorant or whatever, but this is not true. So I'm not going to run it. And there's a time I would step away from a story and I tell the editor, give to someone else. My conscience doesn't allow. I'm not telling you we won't go. Nacha Nasema, editor is fine. It doesn't have to be me to do. And they pick the story, they give to another person. Whether they want to tell lies, it's their problem. Yes.
You know, I like that a lot, because, and the reason I'm emphasizing on that is because right now, especially with the kind of platform we have, controversy sells.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, producing those lies brings more traffic to your channel.
Yeah.
So people tend to. They benefit from that.
And many bloggers, many digital people now who are thriving on that. And it's selling. They're gaining subscribers every
minute.
Completely,
and more viewership.
Yeah,
yes.
More viewership.
Yes.
And then you find content like ours, mine or yours, then it's non-political. We have a moderate viewership or following, but you are happy with that because it's an audience with value.
Yes.
So I don't thrive on numbers. I'll not go sell, I have a million subscribers. I'll go sell my quality. And so my series is called Daring Abroad. And through this series, I've direct diaspora networks I can speak to. You saw the forum yesterday. Those are my direct networks. They came, over 100 people. So that's quality. So I'll have the right client to support me, to sponsor me, because that 100 audience is different from the a million political audience who may not help you.
Yes.
And that client may not go to that person with a million followers, but will come to my direct audience of Daring Abroad.
Yes.
Yeah. But everyone has their way. Maybe there's a way there. But politics, again, won't sell you much. You know, sponsors won't come to political stuff.
Yeah.
They don't want to be identified. So you'll have a following, a huge following. How you turn it into some, I don't know, unless,
That's a different story. That's a different story.
Yeah.
This is the way I call it, them choosy time. Mm. Choosy time. What do you do outside of journalism? What do you do for fun outside of journalism?
Aside journalism, I'm a singer. So,
You sing?
Yes, choir, church choir. Where there is singing, you'll find me in.
Okay.
Yeah. So I like that. In church, I support, like at Sitam Karen, I supported, media team, grow them. I like mentoring, you know, that's another thing. It's a hobby. So I would spend time going to, universities invite me, schools, media houses, to share my story. And when I share my story, I'm very objective. And the things we are talking, and I hope, by the way, people won't, start attacking you. Alex has said ABCD. In good faith, for example, when we are saying you may have numbers, political story, that's their forte. What I was saying is then, for example, if I were doing that, then to find a sponsor and I'm doing politics to be difficult. But it's the area. We respect everyone's area. There are those who do crime. It is their area. And they know how they survive. Some are able to make money just from YouTube itself. So it may be political, sensational, and so on, but they are fine with it. And that's what they love. Again, you respect people's passions, by the way. I was talking
for myself,
my passion is and what I'm unable to do. For example, I know how I would generate networks from my content. If I veered off one to be like so-and-so who is doing political content, I may not survive. So that's what I wanted to emphasize, but I hope I've answered your question.
Yes.
What do I do when it's not my work?
Yeah.
Mentoring
and singing.
Mm.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
ooh.
You heard me singing. Amka kume pambazuka. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Mm. So at the moment, this is of course you, your opinion. What book right now, what book or movie or film would you suggest people watch or read?
Wow. I love The Audacity of Hope by Barack Obama, just as it sounds, The Audacity of Hope.
Okay.
These are books that have changed my life, inspired me. Another book I would advise anyone to read is Who Moved My Cheese? Have you read it?
No.
Who Moved My Cheese? It's a very interesting one. It's just a small book. It's a story of three mice. If I can just rephrase quickly, story of three mice who had cheese they'll get regularly. They walk, they find cheese there, it's ready. It's a symbolic of when in life you have things provided for you. It could be employment, it could be a good school, it could be a good wife, it could be something that you used to nice.
Yes.
Then you wake up one day, it's not there. It could be in marriage, it's broken, you no longer have your wife.
No.
Or kids, you are no longer with them. A job, you've lost your job, or you've been posted from Nairobi to some bundus, you know, maybe to punish you. So you are no longer have your cheese. So the two of them started complaining, who moved my cheese? That's why the book is called Who Moved. So, but the other one found the situation is hard, I have to survive. We have to look for. I have to look for something else. So instead of crying, who moved it? Where is it? Who moved my cheese? Who moved my cheese? That other one has moved on and is finding something else to eat.
Yes.
So it, you see, it's, yes. it teaches us quite
it's
a lot
interesting.
In life.
Yes.
It teaches you to overcome challenges. To say it has happened. Let me not keep digging there. Why was I sacked? Who was Bonalinionea? Move on. Get something else. Start afresh. Who moved my cheese? The other one is by Ben Carson, Think Big. That one I read when I was here in Voice of America in the year 2000.
I've read that one.
Think Big, yes. And it made me think big. Yes. I think he has another book also, Ben Carson. The other one was, can I remember? I'll try to remember. I think those are good examples.
One I can add to that one after Think Big is 48 Laws of Power.
Yes, that's another one. People think it's for politicians, for politics.
No. No, that's a big one.
Yeah,
I've read that one too as well.
Yeah.
So since you're a journalist, obviously everybody knows you're a journalist. What advice do you have for people like us, the up and coming journalist, or at least the new journalist coming up?
Know what you want. Be focused. The more you do it, the more you become a master. You master that thing. Yeah, and despite challenges, because that's now what you want. Umesikia ile mbwa ilikuwa inatembea kwa maji kama haya iko na mfupa na nyama, and then inaona mfupa ingine.
The shadow.
Yeah. So, and I imagine hiyo ndio nzuri.
Yes.
So, anaacha the real one.
Yeah.
So, life can be like that. You're feeling this is not the right one. Oh. Then, just envying people. Envy can be both positive and, you know, envy you can learn from. But the word I want to use is where you, it's not in positive. You are like condemning yourself and feeling you've not achieved, but just imagining so and so has achieved. Why not me? No.
Yeah.
And then you never know. You know, don't keep comparing yourself with others, because you'll die. You'll kill yourself. And that's why social media is killing people. Because you are seeing your former schoolmate driving a big car, and you don't even have a job. Your former schoolmate, big wedding in Diani. You don't even have a girlfriend. You are killing yourself. You know, one is, be yourself. Your time will come. You don't know what they are going through.
That's true.
I may be doing a big wedding, and maybe that big wedding is the beginning of my downfall.
That's
you
true.
See, not that necessarily it happens, but just maybe.
An example.
And it has happened.
Yes.
You see, so, and again, you can't compare your inside. Let me touch your heart here inside and my inside.
You feel it?
Yeah. you can't. So, do you know the challenges I'm going through?
No.
How many bills I could be having? If I have some challenge, whatever, you wouldn't know until I tell you.
Yes.
So you see my outside. You like my, the way it's like I'm super.
But the interior is
a problem. You are seeing me in the planes, traveling. Not that I'm doing bad. I'm just giving you an example. Thank God. But what I mean is then, you start imagining, oh, it's Alex who is so blessed. Why not me?
Yes.
Yeah. But if you compared your inside with another person's inside, then you'll have peace of mind. Then you realize the world is the same. We all go through challenges. What I'm facing, I'll overcome. So that's the advice I would give to journalists. You can grow your area, pick your passion, and you do well when you are living your passion. It could be in sports. It could be in politics, as I said. You know, just your area is politics, and I did politics, only that I've given you my reasons why I had to quit politics. But those people who love it, and they're doing very well. So that's the advice I would give.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I like that. That's a good advice, because I told you, I watch you, I'm learning from you a lot. So that actually, you're talking to me right now, specifically.
Perfect,
right here. But I want to thank you so much, because I've enjoyed you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for coming to the podcast.
I mean,
I don't know, is this coming to the podcast or us coming too? Whatever the case might be.
It's you coming to me, I coming to you, you coming to my origin.
Yes.
2000
yes.
is my origin in
yes.
the U.S.
Yes.
This area is quite symbolic.
And it's pretty interesting, you guys, as you can see, I'm actually doing what he does. This is exactly what he does on his platform, on his channel. He does his shows outside.
Mm.
And we did our podcast outside today. So, of course, now you can see I'm open to new things, and I'm always doing new things. I challenge myself. But thank you so much for your time.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Like I told you, my parents are a big, huge fan of you. By the time they watch this podcast, I mean this episode, they might go crazy, man. I don't know, man. They might go crazy. I'm gonna send a picture of you and me right now. They'll be like, "Oh, are you sure that's him?"
Take enough photos.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna take a picture. I'm gonna send it to them just to let them know this is real. It's happening.
Really.
But thank you so much. But before I wind up, man, anything you wanna tell the people as we wind up?
Well, what I would tell people is, be patient, a day at a time. Live your passion, cherish honesty, cherish respect for others, and just be yourself. Whatever people say, be yourself.
Nice, nice. Now, thank you guys for watching. I hope you've enjoyed the episode. He has said a lot of inspiring stuff, a lot of educational stuff. Definitely make sure you subscribe to his platform. Say it one more time.
Charms Media TV.
Charms Media TV. Please, please.
Yeah.
Subscribe, share, comment, follow, like, whatever. Watch him. I like him. This is my guy now. If you want anything from him, ask me. No, I'm lying, man. But thank you. Thank you so much. This is Chafua Meza. I am your host, Lemmy G. We out.
Bye.
Chafua Meza. Chafua Meza. Tuko Nairobi tunachafu meza, chafu wa meza, chafu wa meza. Tuko in the city, chafu meza. Don Kings in the building, Don Kings in the building. Chafu wa meza, chafu wa meza. Tuko Nairobi tunachafu meza, chafu wa meza, chafu wa meza. Tuko in the city, chafu meza. Don Kings in the building, Don Kings in the building. Straight from the flight to the club, we go. Hold on, I'm lying.